just don't care. Can you dig it? When they're asked how do they feel about cutting the budget down, they reply, whatever's fair.
Things don't make sense anymore. Poor people just take. Best of what we got. show me just what I'm worth.
Welcome to another African Rhythms. I'm David Jones. Got an action soul-packed show with special guest Mike Ingram. Oh, it looks like we don't have you on, Mike. How about that?
Am I on? Yeah, you're.
How there you are.
David?
Yeah, good to have you back, Mike. And I know we're going to have another wonderful show.
Good to be back.
And focus some more on beautiful soul music. And we're going to talk a little bit about the message music and soul and some other things a little bit later on. I mean, Heaven Right Here on Earth. Great songwriting. A couple of great Natural 4 records where he wrote and arranged some of the tunes.
Yeah.
And
the Leroy Hudson.
I personally don't think that they're that bad. I'm reading about Leroy in the Chicago Soul, the Richard Pruta, the great book written about Chicago scene. He said that he thought Leroy suffered from, he was a great arranger and singer, and a musician, but he suffered from a lack of bad tunes, perhaps not collaborating with the right people. But I would say, in my own opinion, having listened to a fair amount of Leroy, I'd say that he does have some great tunes, and he had all the potential of people like Curtis and Stevie and many of the finest soul musicians. But somehow, like you say, I mean, he didn't get the breaks. Somehow people didn't believe him or think his music was that worthwhile. I mean, he produced a couple.
Well, you know, sometimes, David, it turns out where a person's ego can be their best friend and worst enemy. And, you know, for somebody who has talent, I mean, obvious talent like a Leroy Hudson, you can cut your own throat by not either being open to suggestions about where you want to take your music or just cutting everybody off and really being locked in on what you have and what you believe is your sound. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was probably that and those offshoots from that that led to the conflict between he and Curtis Mayfield.
Feel.
Don't it make you feel good
to know that everything's all right? Girl, you mean the world to me. And darling, baby, can't you see? First time I saw you, you were walking down the street. Next thing I knew, girl, you had swept me off my feet. Said it was a vibe so strong, couldn't be denied. And what I like about it, it made me feel so good inside.
Tell me,
In the last few weeks, we've had a chance to cover some ground that maybe a lot of the soul folks haven't really touched on, and that is the message-oriented music. A lot of times folks enjoy the music, and it's appreciated that they do, but those messages, those things that are so simplistic but so necessary for humans to get along kind of get lost in the sauce, and I think it's good that we're going to focus on that a little bit now tonight.
Definitely. Certainly soul music, as great as all the singing is, and the phrasing and all those things and the spiritual side of it. Also, over the years, such giants as Curtis Mayfield and Marvin Gaye have brought some quite beautiful message that hopefully has enabled us all, has been food for thought.
Very much so. Because of people like Marvin and Curtis taking stands like that and making it something that was addressable to the masses by going that musical route, it made things palatable for people because they had to listen. They were enjoying the music. I mean, when they sat down and played it that second or third time and stuff started to sink in, it seemed like, okay, here we're making some progress here. But for every artist that was like that, there were many others that didn't either have the guts or the financial wherewithal to put themselves out there in a position where they could get that kind of feedback and also put their message out in the same manner.
Let's now focus on Chicago soul. Now, here's an area that we've wanted to focus on a little bit more and just maybe tell the people about a little bit, because it's such a strong, rich area of soul music.
Exactly. This is like the big city of Southern soul music, because just as it was with people coming up from the South looking for work, Chicago was the biggest or the closest big city. And there were other cities that were of reasonable size, but they weren't offering the type of work and the opportunity for a livelihood that Chicago was. Mm. So, of course, the music came with them from everywhere, from all those parts of the South. And Chicago was like the crossroads, because you also had people in the Midwest, like in Ohio, and further up, and Chicago was like the meeting point for all of these places. It was a huge hub, and a lot of folks and a lot of musical ideas transferred through there.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the best songwriters and arrangers were attracted to the place, and you had people such as Curtis Mayfield, who was such a giant in production, in arranging, in songwriting, and he would attract other talents because they were really in awe of his talents.
Yes, indeed. The Chicago Roll Call has some serious soul power on it. We've got Curtis, we've got Gene Chandler, got Jackie Wilson, the Five Stair Steps, the Dells. I mean, there's a mountain of folks who can make a serious soul lineup.
Jackie was the biggest for a long time. Jackie Wilson was like the number one artist. Certainly other artists, this helped develop the scene, no question. I mean, Jackie had his early good years, and then later by about 66, and we're going to focus on that Higher and Higher album just a little bit. But there is an example of sort of Jackie's second wave of popularity, and that was the Impressions around 66, and other things were happening.
Yes, indeed. As a matter of fact, had Jackie Wilson not been locked into the situation he had been at Brunswick Records, we would have heard of Jackie Wilson a lot sooner, and he would have hit a Michael Jackson, if you will, type of status back then as a pop performer, because Berry Gordy had laid out a success path for him, had written some of his hits like Reek Petit and all that, and had he been able to free him from his contract and sign him up with Motown, we would have heard about Jackie in the very same way that we hear about a Stevie Wonder or a Smokey Robinson, as far as like
Well, certainly everybody was in awe of him. I mean, Elvis, I mean, James Brown, they all, you know, this guy could dance like James. I mean, he could sing like nobody. You know, he had the who's who of songwriters coming in and arrangers, Johnny Pates and some of the greats. Yeah, why don't we give him a little taste? Let's start with the Windy City theme by Windy City, an appropriate way to start, and then let's go right into some Jackie.
Let's set it off.
Beyond a feeling, goes beyond a thrill. Not just a city created from concrete, glass, and steel. Cold-blooded, and outrageous, very often underestimated, because it's wicked and it's wild, and makes a man of any child. For the hawk can eat the apple and fly high over the cities near the sea. Life in Chi-Town, baby, is as real as life can be. Why, the city by the lake has everything that it takes to teach wisdom to the wise and make the weak want to survive. The hawk stole the funk from the bayou town, while Chocolate City is another treat that the hawk has swallowed down. Hey, mama, tell your children, and daddy, tell your sweets, if there ever was a mother, this is one you have to meet. There's a group in this town that exemplifies how we get down. They call themselves Dig Up.
I'm sick and tired of those heartaches. Ooh. Everywhere I go, anything I do, leave memories of no one but you. You went away and left me that day. Now I'm all alone with no one to call. Tried so hard to be the one for you, but you didn't care, you just weren't true. So now you're gone, my darling, and I'm alone and blue. There's nothing left but those heartaches from you. This hurt feeling I can't help but show. And soon you will know about those heartaches.
Of the newly opened NSCS Discovery Restaurant at 1515 Discovery in Jericho Park. Profits support NS Culinary Education Society of BC. Enjoy breakfast on the beach for only $4.95, served daily from 7 a.m. till 11 p.m. Say you heard this ad and receive 5% off lunch and dinner items until May 31st, 2012. Enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner at the newly opened NSCS Discovery Restaurant at 1515 Discovery in Jericho Park and support a local social enterprise.
...2011 marks the 25th anniversary of the Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden since opening in 1986. The Dr. Sun Yat-sen Chinese Garden is very pleased to have been able to connect cultures and communities for the past 25 years and continue being an arts and cultural hub in the neighborhood and the city. Watch for complimentary specials on the 25th day of every month. There are also blockbuster exhibits, community events, academic conferences, and music and theater productions lined up, plus contests and giveaways. CITR 101.9 FM is proud to be a year-long partner as the Garden celebrates its 25th anniversary. For more information, visit www.vancouverchinesegarden.com.
Show your Friends of CITR card or simply mention that you heard about the garden on CITR to receive $2 off admission.
Listening to African Rhythms on CITR, and that's the Iceman himself, Jerry Butler and Brenda Lee Eager. A very interesting duet and apparently a hit, Mike.
Very much so a hit. This was probably Jerry Butler's best effort. I mean, he did some beautiful ballads like He Don't Love You and For Your Precious Love, but this duet that he did with Brenda Lee Eager stands out as probably his best work ever. And Brenda Lee Eager, the young lady who sang with him, ended up winning an audition where she sang against four or five other young ladies. She ended up winning the spot because they wanted something very similar to a Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell type hookup. Jerry Butler was always a lone wolf, never even thought about having anybody do duets with him and whatnot. Mm. And this was something that he was goaded into and coaxed into at the suggestion of Gene Chandler. And so in picking up Brenda Lee,
Because it was a successful thing.
Because it was a successful thing, and they wanted to go with a successful trend. Chemistry between them, if you will, really hit, and this was the very best that they could have ever have done. They followed up with "Let It Be Me" as their second single, but it didn't quite reach the success of "Ain't Understanding Mellow." But the two of them really did work well and sound well, sound great together.
Yeah, it's from a great album, Sagittarius Movement, which has Donny Hathaway arranging on it, actually. And, of course, early on, Jerry Butler was hooked up with Curtis Mayfield, and they were the original Impressions.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, and "For Your Precious Love" being their big tune from the late 50s. And that was, I guess, the seed, the birth of a lot of... That was the same time that Jackie Wilson came out, and so the Iceman and Curtis go back quite a ways.
The Iceman, Curtis, and Gene Chandler, they all go back a ways because they were doing a lot of shows together, and Gene, at that time, we were speaking about Rainbow and what a powerful little operetta, if you will.
Yeah, we're going to have to play that one in future shows.
Oh, for sure.
But there was
a nice little competition going on between the three of them.
And OK apparently was the label that they were on. And then they switched it all over. And a little bit later on came Curtum Records.
Right, because OK at that time was a race label. You know, they were labels that they had isolated specifically for black acts. And OK was one of those labels. It just cut out records specifically for the black market. They knew where to send these things. They knew where to distribute them and whatnot. And they were played on the black stations. Very rarely did a song on a label like OK ever cross over into the public market.
Yeah, a common problem, certainly, with this great music is the fact that it often has not been heard, and some of the finest music, just simply because it wasn't a hit, didn't get any FM radio play. The jocks, perhaps some of them weren't hip enough or interested enough in the music.
Well, you know, you got to understand something else, too, David. I mean, we're talking about a kind of left-handed discrimination, if you will, because, I mean, we have formats now like easy listening and whatnot, and I can't think of anything easier to listen to than this beautiful stuff. But because a lot of the artists are black, you do not see them getting played. And of course, when you don't get played, you don't get royalties. And when you don't get royalties, you don't get extra coin from the record labels to go on ahead and further your creative ideas and stuff. So
certainly, yeah, a hidden agenda at times seems to have been the order of the day.
Sometimes.
And all that we can do here is represent this music, because in some ways today, some of this still goes on to some degree.
Indeed.
You know, it has to be said. Now let's go right back into Chicago Sounds and another great voice who actually sounds pretty similar to Jerry Butler in some ways, Garland Green.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
I'm
some nice Chicago sounds. As the 70s progressed, the impressions, I guess Curtis, Leroy Hudson took over the duties on Curtum, and that was produced by Curtis, and they made a couple of albums. Not too much success, I might add.
No, but when you have a personal change like that, where you've got someone who puts as much of a stamp on a group like Curtis Mayfield does, that's to be expected.
Yeah, difficult. I read that Leroy felt constricted in that environment creatively, not even being the lead singer, and so he went solo on Curtum and made those fine Hudson 1, 2 albums, Closer to the Source, all that early 70s stuff, which is of great quality. These impressions went through a second renaissance with when they got in Ed Townsend and Rich Tufeau.
Yeah.
You know, this morning when the phone rang, I knew something was wrong. You know that funny feeling you get sometimes. Sure enough, it was your girlfriend on the phone, and she told me that. She said you had a fight when you got home last night. You know, it hurt me so doggone bad, because I love you so much.
Meanwhile, back at Motown, Marvin had just made Inner City Blues. We're talking the early 70s now. I mean, what possibly could you have as a follow-up to What's Going On, the greatest soul record of all time for people that don't even like soul music? I mean, this record is so good that it's scary, you know? What did he do? He got together with Ed Townsend on one side. We're going to be featuring actually a record he put out on Curtum Records in the next show, a great producer and songwriter. And then on the other side, we have, it's actually produced by Marvin Gaye, and we've got a David Van De Pit arranging, just absolutely outstanding album, Let's Get It On. Probably as good as What's Going On.
For all of its purpose, definitely as good, if not better, because when Marvin did What's Going On, it was like, yeah, how can you hit a home run now? It's like saying, oh, I'll hit one over the center field fence as opposed to one over the right field fence. And with Let's Get It On, he just took the whole mood in a whole different direction. This was about just a sit-down, one-on-one person-type thing.
Shall explain. I stood all the jealousy, all the bitching too. Yes, I'd forget it all once in bed with you. Oh, darling, how could we end up like this? Oh, baby, let me reminisce. Oh,
It's too late for you and me. It's too late for you and I. Much too late for you to cry. It's too late for you and me. Much too late for you and I. It's too late for you and me. Much too late for you to cry, baby. Oh, we tried. God knows we tried. Now it's too late to live and love. It's too late for you and me. Much too late for you to cry. Oh, it's much too late.
All we can do is we can both try to be happy.
Oh, if I should die tonight, oh baby, though it be far before my time, I won't die alone, sure, yeah, cause I
I gotta tell you, everybody listening out there, if you want to know where the soul trees grow, believe that the roots start with African rhythms here on CITR.
By his side.
That was Jesse James. Mike, that was what was happening on the West Coast back in the late 60s. Certainly was one hell of a soulful singer.
For real. I was impressed by Jesse's voice and the material there. Very soulful. I mean, very, very soulful. I admittedly have not had the opportunity to hear much Jesse James, but I definitely like what I hear here.
Yeah, no, he was not really given much attention until the modern soul folks in Japan and England picked up on him in the 80s. Also, he moved to Trouble Funk Town, Washington, D.C., and he ended up on the D-double-T, and he did a single there, I Can't Do Bad for Myself, which is quite nice, too. But I think an interesting comparison now is we should play an early James Brown ballad from his Suffering the Blues from his Little Willie John record.
James Brown said in his autobiography that Little Willie John was his favorite singer, bar none, and they were very close when they were working together and recording together for King Records in Cincinnati.
Yeah, no, I think people forget, Mike, how great James Brown was as a singer. All the funk influences and all the spin-offs from that, people forget that this guy could sing the blues.
Yes,
you know, he could sing like Bobby Bland, some of the great singers from back in the day.
Well, he gave them something they really didn't expect, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, and It's a Man's World. I mean, he's had a few ballads. And then, of course, Killer Smoking Ballads from Live at the Apollo, Lost Someone. There's some stuff we're going to have to play.
Lost Someone, boy. Make sure you have gloves on when you had that album, because it's got to be hot, David. That is one of the hottest soul albums of all time.
Yeah, I mean, they used to play the entire side of it at the same time every day because it was so popular.
Yes,
but let's check this out. Suffering with the Blues, Mr. James Brown on African Rhythms.
Somewhere, somehow, sometime, someplace, I did someone wrong, and now I'm suffering with the blues. Oh, now don't know just where, why, or how.
must have been wrong. 'Cause I'm suffering with the blues. Oh, now. All right. Why does your love taunt me? Don't want me. If you did, you'd be right here by my side. Somewhere, somewhere, somehow. I must have heard you. Down inside, why else would I be out suffering with the blues? Why else would I be a suffering? The blue.
We often hear the expression, the power of love. To some people, it's just a figure of speech. But I believe that love has a miraculous power. A power that can make a poor man rich, transform an ordinary woman into a queen, and an ordinary man into a king.
Sometimes you're downhearted, you sit alone and cry. Love comes into your life, your troubles take wings and fly. Oh, it's a miracle, it's a miracle, it's a miracle. What love can
Yes, indeed. Another fine ballad, and that's Willie Hightower. I mean, we've certainly featured a lot of older ballads today, but there's just so many good ones, Mike. I get carried away.
nothing wrong with that, my brother. I think from getting a taste from East Coast to West Coast, there, Willie Hightower being New York homegrown there, and Jesse James being from the West Coast, we hear differences and similarities in those two back-to-back, like we did Jesse and Willie both having that raw gospel background, and James with a little difference there coming up with a raw but rather sweet, clean, technically perfect delivery.
Yeah,
on that
he's singing pretty on key. He's a very competent singer.
Don't hear a lot of rasping, a lot of that. I mean, a lot of people, James Brown doesn't get the credit he should get for being a great singer. And obviously, he must have an excellent vocal instrument for his voice to last as long as it had, you know, with all that screaming and shouting and whatnot, just like Pickett.
Yeah, it's unbelievable when you think about it. Why don't we now go to modern day? Here are some modern examples of the continuation of this great music we love. Start out with a wonderful track.
By inviting the public to join them for two popular art events this spring. Event 1 is a free Roundhouse exhibit and birthday party on May 16th. One day only at the Roundhouse Community Center at 181 Roundhouse Mews in Yaletown. There will be an artist reception from 7 to 10 p.m. and don't miss out on the birthday cake bash at 8. Following up the birthday bash, there will be a free open studios walk on May 19th through the 21st. Studios will be open from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. And to see participating artists and a map, visit the website at artistsinourmidst.com.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
And that's Jeff Floyd and Changing Times. They're playing a few modern tracks here on African Rhythms. A real nice voice, Mike, on that bad. Jeff Floyd.
Yeah, no, not bad. We were just speaking earlier about how it seems like Jeff Floyd was a victim of good material and bad production.
Somewhat of the modern state of soul, or somewhat what it's like. In fact, the Jeff Floyd record doesn't even come with a cover, you know? Didn't come out on CD.
That's like the Blue Label stuff you get here at Safeway and stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, it's low-quality production, so there's not much depth there, but you can really hear the talent in the singer. There's quite a few good tracks. It came out about 3 years ago now. And another guy that I remember we played a couple shows back, Angel, David C., a singer of major talents, you know, came around in the early 80s. In fact, he's got a new CD out, so we'll have to check that one out and be writing off to his new label. Another track, Mike, that we haven't got around to playing from about 84 is something on the Visions label, which is from down Miami way, and it's Betty Wright's co-producing this track.
Betty Wright, another unsung producer. Excellent performer, actually, and Betty had her hands in everything. And Betty, more than anything else,
the cleanup woman.
Was more known for cleanup woman. That was her signature piece, but she liked being behind the scenes as well. She produced a lot of groups.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I've got some other stuff on the Visions label I'll be bringing along. Demetrius, if you want to fool around. Mm-hmm. And in fact, her own stuff on from the late 80s up until modern day, she's still putting out phenomenal material.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's check this out. David C.
Love me down. lonesome sweet soul sun.
And rock me, baby.
Rock me, rock me, rock me, rock me. All I wanna do is work.
And that's some outstanding modern gospel sounds. Oasis, Helen Baylor. Now, that's the direction I like to see soul music going in.
That's not bad. And that David C. prior to it was awesome. Oh, I mean,
I know.
I would like to see some of these young ladies and gentlemen who are into this modern soul thing, you know, kind of turn it loose like David did there and really sing from the gut like that. I mean, there was some nice little squealing and screaming and stuff, and, you know, we don't see that. It seems like now the trend is to kind of be a kind of cool and stuff, and I don't like that cool. I like heat, and,
yeah,
you know, he was generating some nice heat with that.
No, he was. I mean, vocal capability combined with nice tune, getting together with Betty Wright, definitely a very good career move on his part.
Definitely a very good career move.
Yeah, and another guy who's been around for eons. We were talking about how great his early solo albums were. That's Paul Kelly. He had three records. Stealing in the Name of the Lord was his first hit. That was on Warner Brothers. Yeah. He made a couple more great records, I believe also on Warner Brothers, the Don't Burn Me.
Yep.
Recent times, I guess about 5 or 6 years ago now, he put out a great new CD on Bullseye.
I think with Paul Kelly was, more than anything else, I appreciated what Paul Kelly did, because Paul's was one of those guys who had integrity. He had clashes with a couple of labels. He resisted going a certain way. Opposite of Leroy Hudson, Paul Kelly was somebody who had definite ideas about things, and he stuck with them, and he wouldn't be shaken because he felt he had the best way of saying what he needed to say.
Yeah, there's no doubt. A few people, Jackie Moore notably, did this song personally, but actually his own version, and I don't believe he recorded it before the CD that came out, I guess, 5, 6 years back, but a very nice version. So why don't we check that out?
been writing letters every day now since you've been gone. Talking to you by telephone for what seemed like a whole life long. But I've got something to give you that the mailman can't deliver. I can't mail it in, I can't phone it in, I can't send it in, even by your closest kin. The thing that I'm speaking of is a lot of love, a whole lot of love. I'm bringing it to you
personally,
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 personally.
Yeah, I'm bringing it to you
personally, yeah. Personally,
yeah.
Personally,
yeah. I need your love, I want your love. I need your love, I want your love. Well,
I can't mail it in,
mail it in.
I can't phone it,
I can't phone it in.
I can't send it in, even by your closest kin.
The thing that I'm speaking of is a lot of love, a whole lot of love. I'm bringing it to you
personally,
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 personally.
Yeah, I'm bringing it to you
personally,
personally,
personally.
I need your love, I want your love. I need your love, I want your love. Well, 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 I'm bringing it to you. Yes, I am.
Personally,
yes, I am.
Personally.
Hey.
Personally,
yeah, I'm bringing it to you.
Personally,
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 yeah, I'm bringing it to you.
Personally,
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 personally.
Hey, I'm bringing it to you.
Personally,
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 personally.
You're on African Rhythms. We're almost at an end of another show. Anything else to add, Mike?
Well, can't say much more than that. We do want to give a shout out, though, to our listeners in Victoria. We want to say thank you for putting your ears to the radio here.
And, the Victoria Posse.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed. Much appreciated. As we've said in the last show or so, if you want to know where the soul trees grow, the roots of all that that encompasses it can be found here at CITR on African Rhythms.
Sweet. Thanks, Mike. We'll be doing it again real soon, my friend.
Yes, indeedy.
All right, well, let's check out Who Is He and What Is He to You, recently covered by Michelle Ndagacello. The original is an epic track.
Quick aside for a creative source here, discovered by Ron Branson, I believe it was, of the Fifth Dimension. A different play on the Fifth Dimensions because they had three females and two males, five-part harmony, and the sound worked for them at the time.
Yeah, it was a big hit when it came out. Still stands the test of time to this day. And so until next time, until next week, I'm David Love Jones. Peace and love.
what is it to you?
Confused.